6:30. Here we go. Welcome everyone to our May 12th board meeting at 6:30. We will begin with roll call. Jay's here.
Matt Palmer.
Scott Patoni.
Craig Christensen.
Stanford Jensen.
Brian Andrew.
Justin Jackson.
Christine Oxman.
Amanda Olson.
I wonder where Mr. Wade is. Okay. Approval of the minutes. Everybody had a chance? Anything changes or adjustments or adaption or anything? If not, entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. McCray, you got a second?
Second.
Scott? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, we'll move down to financials. Everybody saw the bills and everything.
It was a lot of them.
Well, I'm...
Everybody looks at you every time.
Well,
you ask for a lot, I do a lot, you know, geez.
There wasn't as many from the church.
Well, it was all that storage stuff that cost us a small fortune for the legal storage. That's what it was like. Holy moly. And that was several months worth.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted you guys to see all of it.
We want to see everything. Yeah. We appreciate it. It's just
it's
discouraging.
It's a lot, yeah.
So, questions. You got any report, anything? So what bills are we paying? Just everything that showed up in there.
Yep. All of the Hats and Allen ones. Any questions on those? And then our attorney ones, we don't have that many of the attorney ones.
No. Well, he hasn't done diddly squat lately.
And then the Sterling Irrigation one, that's their final payment.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Did a letter.
That's done their final payment, and then we're done with them, Sterling. And then mine and Clyde Snow, just those couple.
So the Sterling one, that'll be the... Well, you'll talk about that a little too. But that
it says their final phase.
So this is the end of our cost with them. So
yep.
Our contract's going to be filled.
So okay. In here, like I attached, it does say that they're working on phase two.
Yeah, but they got to reapply and everything for phase two.
So they're, but this is our final payment for phase one.
Okay.
Nope. So.
Okay. There isn't any questions or concerns. I would entertain a motion to.
So, I have been filing all this stuff for this project, but am I still filing them? Because I'm not. Do I get a copy of those?
I think you can have this.
Because I was filing those.
And we're filing them in here, right?
Yeah.
We got to file in there.
Yep.
That's what we need to do. And just.
I'm confused. I am in charge of them, I'm not. So I'm.
Nope. You're doing just fine, right? Okay. Any other questions or concerns?
I'll make a motion that we approve the invoices.
You got a second?
I'll second it.
Matt, second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Okay. Criteria on our standard. Any changes or anything more? Have we got any?
We put in a new ranking. I told you about last time
where
it was for using of technology and water measurement. Haven't got a new project to use it yet, so
okay.
I was going to step you through it next time we have one. We don't have any.
Nope, that's fine.
So just on that last time, I changed the discussion.
So we don't current projects. Sounds like Sterling's
wrapping up. I think we're all done with everything else.
And where are we on any of them others?
I haven't received anything from anyone. So as far as payments or progression.
That's concerning.
I know I was working with
on
a pressure station.
Yeah. I've got two they're working on, but they're not finalized yet.
Yeah.
One is Horseshoe is just to rank theirs because they're splitting theirs up. And they've got funding all for it, and that's been approved already. They just haven't started construction. And the Manti City is working on one, but they haven't finalized it yet.
So I've heard rumblings. You'll probably get something from Cottonwood Gooseberry. They're just, I told them they need to go through and get their engineer selected so they can start getting cost estimates put together. And then I got a phone call from Skyline Mountain Resort.
Another one?
Yes, and I can't remember.
They got the lion's share last time.
And I told them, well, you know, you can apply, but I don't know that the board will do anything, but, you know.
No, we welcome any application. Yeah. Anybody can apply.
When you have a choice of zero or something?
I think it was something around the acquisition of additional water rights. I remember that in the discussion, but I don't remember anything else. I remember what it was. It was purchase setups for people to, you know, put their card in and buy water because they've been having a lot of people
off
steal water.
That's Peak Well. Yeah.
They was having lots of people just come to fire hydrants, and we had a long discussion on that. It's, you know, they're not cheap. And
they got a drinking water loan to put in a new turnout up there that's, you know, you drive in and fill it. But I don't know anything about how their
turnouts are built. It's just people.
Because we talked about that when we were doing the Central Utah funding and what they were proposing.
And they didn't have as much problem with it when it was still gated, but they took the gates down. And now I just told them, you've got to be like every other place out there. You know, everybody has theft from their fire hydrants. It's an issue of, what is it going to cost to fix the problem? What's the cost of what they're stealing? You don't throw an $80,000 fix at a $3,500 problem.
You could, but...
You could.
So they'll be coming on some of these projects that are supposed to be getting done. We're just not getting anywhere with any of them and hearing anything.
I'm kind of out of it. They're not.
Well, no, that's fine.
Because if there's not a financial request,
but there,
I don't know,
but there should be on some of them. So, we should have some financial requests coming.
Do we have a time limit to hold their money?
That's what I thought. We're going to be running out of some of it, aren't we?
Because, I mean, the first round we did, that was with Central Utah.
And all those got closed out?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are all done.
But in our regulations, we don't have any time frame.
We need to add some time restraints because otherwise they'll go forever. I mean, I think we have to be liberal because just getting product and everything else. We have to be able to adapt.
They're working on it.
But we've got to...
Yeah, there's everything reasonable about saying 2 years, and then if they need an extension, they can...
That's why I would say the same thing. I'd say 2 years, and then they could come in and ask for an extension. That's reasonable, I think. Yeah. And if it's beyond that, then you got to resubmit.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would say...
Your cost you submit 2 years is probably about as long as those costs are valid.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe we should go with a year with another year given if there is progress being made, something to kind of say, okay, the first year, you know, because it takes time and we don't want to have it so short, the turnaround, but on the other hand, I don't want them to be sitting there not doing anything because we got 2 years to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense what I'm saying because I'm like, we want to push it as hard and fast as we can, but we want to make sure they got enough time to do it right.
Well, I think because there's not a ton of big construction projects, I think you'll see more studies asked for now to get rolling with Gooseberry.
Oh, yeah, engineering.
And I think we might need a longer timeline in that case because if they come to you first to get paid for a feasibility study, then they're going after other funding and they're doing other stuff.
But then I think the clock resets.
Yeah.
I think when you do the engineering and that's done, then they come in and apply, then we set the clock again for the project.
I agree too. Okay.
That's how I would handle it.
Yeah, one's for construction fund, one's for studies.
Yeah. It sounds like maybe you want an annual report to see where they are.
We definitely want an annual report.
Best report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even 6 months.
I would say that's even better.
Would that have to be in our bylaws, or would that just be in the application?
That would be in a policy. I think that's just policy and procedure. Just like our criteria, that's just part of that policy and procedure and criteria.
Yeah, and that criteria we give them out, like the ranking criteria, I'll just add it to that.
Yeah.
You need to provide a 6-month summary. And then we'll also put, there's a 2-year sunset clause that once funds are given, you have 2 years to request them.
Once contract is signed. Do we want contract signed or funding? Probably contract signed.
Yeah.
We can approve the funding, and it takes a little time between then and to get the contracts all set up. So if we gave them once the contract's signed, that'd probably be more legally binding and everything for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all of new projects I have.
Okay. Our change application.
Ours or the stuff happening in the county?
Ours on our request for our diversion project.
So we filed, from last time, we filed all those protests. Here's the ones for all of April now. And there's only one big one, and we are doing Area 67, 63, and 65, you know, because we have portions of that.
Okay. I wasn't aware of 63. I mean, 67 and 65 is where those, but so where does 63 fit in? Just for this person that hasn't looked on maps.
63 is just a little bit. It's in the county, but it's not. It's lower in Gunnison down there.
So it's on the Sevier, just below. Okay, that's what I figured, but I wasn't sure.
Because 67 is
Fayette area.
Is Fayette, and 65 is the main part.
Yeah.
And there's also a little bit of like Birdsong to that's on that Spanish Fork drainage.
But we haven't really done much.
There's not things
you know
up there,
on the Utah County and the.
Yeah.
We haven't done.
There's not a lot of work to watch out over there, but that's in the county as well. So they've all been.
So just stop a minute so I can get my head around this. So us as a conservancy district, where we represent the whole county, we'd be responsible for that portion then, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't thought of it that way. So then we better be more attentive and make sure we're okay.
And that's the only big one that came up this last time was one down near Monroe, which I'm fairly certain is outside of the county.
Yes.
So all the other ones in that area have these. They were all small ones, and that was just a big city one. I mean, so my staff put it on the list just to show we're looking there, but
no,
I didn't.
That's good.
They're not from Utah. I didn't tell them that's not part of the county, so you can stop your search there.
Okay, so I've got a question, and maybe Stanford can answer this. Dyrings. Did you see in the paper?
Yeah, they're doing quite a few things now.
But they're applying to change some water out of the Redmond salt mine.
Yeah, I saw that.
What is that?
The Dyring one that we protested, and we did protest one, but that was moving it out of the Sevier River.
Yeah, that was surface.
The other one hasn't, the change application hasn't been filed yet, hasn't been advertised yet, so I don't know what they're actually asking for. They started it, you know, that started some stuff, but it hasn't been, the water right transfer hasn't been filed yet. So I can answer that question.
It showed up in our paper.
Yeah.
Well, this last week, I think it showed up.
Okay, I only have through the 5th. So that was, it showed up last week, and then that's on my
list. I think that's when it showed up last
week. Yeah, and
then
you got a couple of Hammonds, Henry Hammonds out there. And I haven't talked to them, but I'm sure that he's transferring his water into wells so he got a consistent source of water for his
farm. Yeah, I've got two John Henry Hammonds right here from well to well. For 2 acre-feet each.
From well to well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Oberg's doing there in Ephraim.
Yeah, 2 acre-feet is a lot of water.
Yeah, but what, I guess the question that I have is, all this is coming from wells. Where are all these wells that they're transferring all this water from?
Well, I have a presentation on our groundwater study, and I'll go through all that.
That'll be good, because I was hoping you had something on
that. We finished the modeling, so I have a report back to you.
So there's nothing right now, per se, but we need to investigate a few things and see.
Yeah, the biggest one that we talked about last time and we filed it is that we requested a hearing for that Diring one and the Horseshoe one. That was the big one.
Well, it was the Moroni one.
Yeah, sorry, Moroni.
Yeah, Jacobson's.
And so we did request an official hearing, so we'll see. The comment period is later this month, so we won't know till the comment period is over, till what they decide to do.
Well, we appreciate your staff keeping track of these. And I think as we move forward, we'll keep working on fine-tuning how we respond.
Yeah, I try to I try to go through the first of the month, and then I don't have them do it every week, because let's just do it quickly and efficiently and not. And then they usually come to me and say, hey, we looked at these. Here's the basics. What do you want to do? So that's the water rights going on.
Okay. Now we're going to go back up to our change application. I talked with Nate, you know, after our last board meeting and the discussion that we had, that we wanted to put some pressure on water rights and see what they're doing and when they're going to give us some information and stuff. He said he would do that. The other item, we'll probably do in closed meeting, a little more information on some concerns with the state engineer's office. I think that's what I have on that. Trying to think of anything else.
Well, I read his letter. I mean,
yeah,
that he submitted. I think he did a good job on that.
No, I think he did an excellent job on that. And
I'm gonna bite my tongue to a closed session. I'd really like some of his phrases.
I get to say. So, outreach and education.
I think this is the one I'd talk to you
about. Yeah. Justin called me and said, we need to maybe put some information out there on what's available for water savings, what we are doing as a conservancy district, and I think it's a good idea.
Have any of you gone to any of the Division of Water Resources town halls they've been doing? And just,
yep.
This was kind of from some of that, hearing some of what the public's thoughts are. And, you know, I ended up getting cornered from multiple directions on it and saying, well, you know, there's things happening, you know, but I don't know that we're, you know, ready to make them public. So I like the groundwater management study. And there's a lot of people out there that just haven't foggiest clue, and they're scared. These people are scared to death.
They ought to be.
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant situation out there right now.
Yeah. But need to know that, you know, something is being done. I mean, yeah, we can't. I mean, I had one guy say, oh, well, we can ship in oil across the United States, but we can't ship water. And I kid you not, Josh, I was so proud of him. He says, yeah, but you're not going to pay $4.50 for a gallon of water now, are you?
But they do out of the store for those little drinking things.
And we do ship water across the country.
Oh, all the time. And it's very expensive water.
Tap water back east tastes pretty good on this end, I guess.
But in the end,
it's all good.
And I got a text from Nate on the website. Band.
Okay.
Different one. And just saying, okay, what things are we good to put out to the public? You know, like what kind of information on the groundwater study? What kinds of things do we want to put out there and say, hey, you know, I think there will definitely, know, links to all the regular websites, Slow the Flow, and then all the Ag Smart, Water Smart stuff.
I think we should try to get permission to put all their logos on our website with the link to that information. You know, it's like, I mean, on the news yesterday, said we're not supposed to be watering in sand feet or yards yet. And I was like, okay. Have they been to sand feet?
On a normal year, that might be the case.
Well, but
when it's 80 degrees in March, it's a little bit different.
And it hasn't really
been. It was a lot more than 80 today.
Yeah, it was.
I said in March.
Well, and it's just kind of funny because all the irrigation companies, at least on my end of the county, started their water and they're all broke to hell now because it froze. And so now they're back 2 weeks, you know, fixing water breaks, and it's 90 now. It's supposed to be 32 by Sunday again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's supposed to drop and get a cold snap.
Yeah. Go look at your alfalfa fields and see what it's done to them.
They're all
they're not growing very good. So back on our outreach and education.
So are you suggesting that maybe we ought to do a program to take the grass out and like they do in a lot of these areas, and to take it out and put it into zero landscaping?
It can be, but that's not what I'm proposing.
And the reason we're not proposing that at this time is because those programs, there's a requirement of ordinance changes for the communities. They have to have
counties or cities.
They have to have ordinance, and we have to have an ordinance that says we're doing conservation and these things. But I think it would be really good for us to put out, these are what's available now, public. If there's a program there and you think you want it, then you should go to your community or to your county, us, and start requesting it so that we know that there's a need. Because we don't want to push anything on anybody, because then you really get in trouble.
Well, and we're going to have a brand new shiny website here shortly. And what outreach stuff do we want to put on that website? You know, how much of what we're doing do we want to put out onto the website? You know, like have a project page and, we approved help funding with this project, but then we're also doing this water study thing. It's like how much do we want to put out there?
But I think we need to put something out. I think we need to do some media, pay for some media, you know, ads or something in the local.
Because it's not just as much, you know, oh, hey, we're here and we're doing something, but also, you know, they need to know, especially these people need to know that somebody's doing something. Because they sit in their house and go, the world's going to end. And it might, but they just need to know, okay, there's somebody out there who is trying to do some things to prevent what we talked about earlier. You know, they hear about it in these other places and say, okay, as a conservancy district, here's the preventative measures that we're working on. Yep. And get that information out someplace to the public website. But I want to make sure everybody's okay with what information we put out there before it happens.
And I think we want to be promote what's out there.
Yes.
And explain that this is the type of criteria what you need for your community to access that funding, that state funding and stuff. So that it's not coming back to us, well, let's get this going, that they know they have to go through their elected officials in each entity and work with them to get the right ordinances and stuff in place, get their water management plan that meets the criteria and those things.
I mean, but even if you just went down that road, I mean, isn't sand peat by and large still the majority of the water use, the vast majority of the water use for agriculture?
It is, but...
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it just seems like the amount of gains that can be made in water and agriculture here in sand peat, it's just tremendous.
Well, that's what he's saying. Some of those programs would be, we would put a thing up there for the ag efficiency program and then say, yeah, here's the requirements so that anyone can go to there.
And here, yeah, well, I was just thinking of xeroscaping.
But it's important.
But
Stan, it's important because you've got a group of people that live in the city that are not tied to agriculture that want to do things, and there's funding out there available that they're not allowed to use because nothing's in place for them to use it.
Okay.
Well, and I can tell you this, on the other side of, sorry, the hill, not the mountain, as you told me last time. There's a literal media war vilifying, especially alfalfa use.
Oh, yes.
And so if a lot of the constituents still are in those agricultural productions, you might have some proactive things about the benefits and the economics and things like that. Because right now, the younger generation is starting to think that growing hay is the worst thing you can do. Because they don't know any better.
Yeah. Well, and the media has pushed it so hard. I mean,
and that's the next thing, yeah. The NGOs and things like that are going to, because that's the biggest water fight. And ag's the biggest bunch of the pie. So they're already started. They're going to vilify. And we saw that in the hearing. You know, Carbon tried to point, oh, we're paying all this money for...
To grow hay over there.
I'm like, I think they grow hay on Carbon side too, but...
Yeah. Not very good hay.
I've gone over there.
Obviously.
but, so, I guess to bring it back, what do you think we should do? What we want to have on the website? Do we want to put together some type of a fact sheet or information sheet to put out to the public? You know, put it in the shopper that goes out to everybody? Or, I mean...
It'd be nice if we have somebody that comes to us and says, hey, what's available? We could just say, go to the website, and this is where you can find it.
Yeah. But also, you know, those that say, well, what's being done, and having some place say, well, you know, if you look at our website, we're doing a groundwater study, and we're looking at, you know, change applications from, you know, ground or surface to groundwater, or whatever we decide we want to put on there.
So like when Linda Nielsen calls, you can just direct her to the website.
Yes. Exactly.
And then if she wants to go more,
because you would have that snowtail report on there for her.
Yeah. You know, all of that stuff that we're talking about in here would be on there. It would be publicly available. But when they go, what's being done, say, well, go check out what we've got posted on the website.
I mean, see what we're up to.
I would say, and it's a running count, maybe the last 2 years. You're like, here's all the projects the district's funded.
Yeah.
Here are the ones under that are being considered. Here are, and then you talk about district activities, and you talk about your studies and your water rights, and you'd have a section on the Narrows specifically, because that's its own ball of wax.
Well, I need all of that information. He texted us just today.
I come out of Fairview Canyon, my phone lit up.
Who was talking to him today? I need all those links and Narrows.
I think what Brian just said, though, we need to put on there the projects that we funded, because...
Yeah, and we need to put, this is our percentage of funding, this is the cost of the project, to show the leverage so that it's not all our dollars.
I still get a lot of...
Pressure
because of, well, all you're doing is you're taking all this tax money and you're not doing anything because it's all going to the Narrows.
And they'll always say that until we start educating them where it is going.
They'll say it after you educate them.
They will. But we'll give them better ammunition to
there'll
talk to.
There'll be less percentage.
At least we've got something to show them.
Exactly.
Can we show a water efficiency measure on these projects?
Well, we can do what they submitted. You know, we could craft a summary that says,
how many acres served, how many acre feet conserved, how many served, you know, things like that.
And how much it costs.
That would be good.
So we somebody could easily see that.
Say, total project cost.
We are doing something in Stampede.
Just a bulletin board.
Yes. Yeah. As I said, we can have a summary of each one.
Yeah, that would be
under
good.
Those categories.
And I think that's what we want. And we want to give them good information, but not enough detail, you know, just kind of balance where that detail is and good information so that they can, they can ask questions.
Give away, but generalize, I think we can.
Yeah, you don't want to give the whole contract
information and stuff, yeah.
But just something is happening.
A summary.
Stuff is being done.
A summary.
Something's
happening. And we could write that up and send it to you and then, you know, give it to the website each month or every six months, whatever it is, and say, hey, however format we do it, and say, here's the latest one.
How much information on the groundwater study do you want to put on?
That one's a little... I'll write up a little something.
Just a paragraph or two?
I would say, from like our proposal. Let's put that, what we're going to look at.
Yeah.
I'll write something up.
Okay.
Because that one, you know, we've got the modeling done. Now it's going to be working with all the stakeholders and developing a plan. So we don't want to tip our hand too much on that. That's private information from municipalities and individuals.
From all the individuals.
We want to encourage.
At least let
them know. Or collaboration, not building up walls and saying, you can't have ours.
So do you... We've got a pretty good idea of what we want to do. We've got direction. You're going to help put some information together. And then we'll, if you get something that we could review before our next board meeting, we can send it out. Everybody, if there's not any comments, then we can just go ahead and put it on the website. If there's comments, then we'll adapt and adjust it.
That's
the old one. Because he just barely got it pointing to the server today. So
like I said, this will have all the links, though. And then I've got the videos he can link to them, too. So.
Okay.
So, well, and then if you want to go on the landscaping side,
just
we've got a center. It's called the Center of Waterwise Landscaping.
Well, I think
at USU, and it's a good website.
And that's said, you just do a link on
that. And we should include that on ours.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do all what Water Resource has, and... You know, drinking water and just the different agencies and their programs.
Yeah, those projects.
And I definitely extension should be in this.
Yeah.
Like you said, they've got good programs on the ag end of it, and they got it good for the community and the residential.
Yeah. So I can send you links to
and
put on.
And they'll even come down and do audits and stuff.
When we were with Central Utah, they would. Now that we broke off, that's changed.
The extension role?
Yeah, it was with Central. It has to be with the conservation.
I wish I'd known that because I would have come, and because I've been told that, yes, they'll still do it.
Ah, I guess I better ask.
They will.
Because it was under Central Utah, and that's where the funding was coming from.
It was Jordan Valley, too, but I think they've also got other funding to keep doing it.
So I don't know if they'll come here.
Because I think they... But my understanding and presentations that I've been involved, they'll do anybody in the state of Utah.
Okay. Yeah.
It might not get done as quickly.
Something like this. Here's an irrigation company I work with. They're pretty simple. They make this themselves, but, you know, just on your board members, who to contact, and then list the projects, and then, you know, that way you can just link to it. And then they also have, like you said, see if it works. You know, all the different water rights main page. If you want to do it, you know, they just have a link for that. And we just throw up the links and say, hey, you can put all the city links that we work with. You put all the, like these guys do, Provo River water users, the county. Here's the water rights page. And you just say, hey, if you want to know where to go, it's hard to find you, go here.
Do we want to reach out and see if the irrigation companies want to be linked on here so we could have a thing that just says, here's all the irrigation companies in the county.
You think they have websites?
No. They would have emails.
I would like to see that happen, but I think we'll start to get this up first and then go to that, because
I think the most likely
we have enough problems. Thank you.
here's another one that could be really good. Horseshoe has a really good website, and this is theirs, so we could link to it.
No, I think we should link to it.
But you think you've got enough problems now? You start getting a lot of people move in that don't know anything about your system, and it will get worse if they don't know who to call.
We're already there.
I'm already there. I don't know if the rest of you guys are.
But I think we. I mean, I'm good with putting irrigation companies on, but.
Yeah, if they want to provide a contact.
But that's the problem, is that gets so massive on maintaining the changes and keeping it updated.
We could
put a list of irrigation companies, but I would just link to Water Rights list.
That's what I would do.
Companies.
I would just do.
I wouldn't do anything
when they update
ours.
Theirs. It gets updated to yours, and you don't have to.
That works.
That's where I would go.
I would just, because there's several things. Water Rights. A couple things: their map page, their data page, the water right inquiry page, and then the list of irrigation companies. So here's all the list of the irrigation companies. If you have a question,
find which one you just bought your house in and contact them.
And if they haven't updated it in 20 years, that's not our fault.
That's normal. Anyway, Kate. I think we got a pretty good idea now.
Okay.
So let's go that way. So you've got some stuff to show us, huh?
Yes.
You want to hook it onto that thing?
I can, or I brought handouts too.
Pull out that table.
Here's one. Let's just use this little one here. Is that our table now?
I think it's mine, actually. I left it here.
I was thinking, boy, that's nice of you.
That's possession in this.
Yours is mine.
Thank you. What do we have the hook to?
Where's the clicker machine?
The remote. I've got it.
Oh, it's up here.
Up on top over there, yeah. Well, you haven't needed your table. Either that or you've been looking and couldn't figure out where it went.
Nobody's asked me about it. Let's just say that. Eventually they will, though.
Yes.
That's just right for something like this. So.
Yeah, that's what we had it in the other classroom. That's what we used it for.
Well, the thing is,
they're not too expensive.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe we should acquire one that's just for this room, that just stays right here.
Yeah, they could put a computer on it.
You winning there, sir?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what dongle goes to where.
Yeah, because that's USB-C.
Yes.
Yep, I have to do the same thing.
So it can't be, $50-$60 for something like that.
Yeah. To say, I think we as a district would be more than willing to buy a table to put in this room.
Yeah.
But you can't just steal other people's?
We can, but,
but
some of us have had enough stuff stolen, we'd rather own a few things.
Well, it's fine.
It's donation.
Staff comes and asks me where it is, and I have to go, well, I can't remember.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking. If you're $60, you might be able to just bring and drop one down the middle of the table.
All we need to do is buy a longer cord, so we can just plug into it here.
Oh, yeah, just an extension.
Is that fine?
That's too simple.
Well, it was on HDM. Maybe it only checks when you start it. Is that auto switch? You got to change your output.
Let me see if I can find it.
Now we'll see how efficient our engineer is.
It beeped.
Wrong kind of engineer.
Doesn't matter.
No, see.
It does.
It doesn't matter. When it comes to things like this, it's always a mess.
I got a cord.
If anybody goes that way, I can walk.
No,
me.
You're supposed to unlock that when you go in there.
It is unlocked.
It was unlocked.
That's a problem.
Oh, so it was unlocked and then you locked it.
Yep.
Okay. You were so efficient when you forgot to check.
I was thinking. That's what I get.
Yeah, I looked at it and I go, well, they're both the same, so I'm going to turn this one so it's different.
Maybe they're fixed in my
It should be a two.
Next time we won't unlock it for you.
It says I'm seeing it.
Hey, it looked like they got the upstairs done on that chimney. Because they were just cleaning up. I couldn't talk to them. I said, is this all set to go? And he said, yeah.
So who did you talk to?
The construction guy that was there.
So did they get the siding back on and the floor back in?
Uh-huh.
So I'm connected to another.
He told me it's good to go. I said, great.
So we are officially done.
That's what he told me.
I don't know.
He told me it's all done.
I'm plugged it because I don't know if I'll get it back.
So, yep. Which means the health or the Mills on Wheels could serve them any of them.
That AC
just in time for county fair. That should be fun.
That's really been a pain to get that flu.
So, do you have papers you wanted to pass out? Is that what this stack was?
That's the same thing I wanted to do.
Okay.
How much of a problem?
How many have you got? Not for everybody or not so many?
I just got one for...
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're just one?
Yeah, I got six. Okay. Lines. It's not a whole lot of them.
Okay.
I need to make some copies.
I can do it this way, though. I mean, I just want to talk through it while we do it, so...
Here, I'll go make some copies.
Well,
make sure you unlock the door.
Let me just have...
I got a key.
He's got a key. He probably can go...
Let's do it this way and I can talk through it. It's not NSA bombing sites here.
He doesn't want to give up.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. So you don't want to give up. You are determined.
To figure it out.
Well, I wanted to know if there was an HDMI 2. And there's not. But there is a different thing.
So the slides in this are the same while he makes copies. If you guys all want to sit in this corner, I'll talk through it. So this is the model.
You come over this way.
You see that?
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of the river area, study area. That's all the drains and what comes from the surface. Then this model is the shallow aquifer and its cells. And then this is the deep aquifer.
So the first one is the bottom of the valley,
yep.
More or less.
It's the drainage. And the rivers, the surface stuff. And there's 10 drains that are also the drain to the river. So they're on this layer as well. And this is the shallow aquifer recharge areas, but also a few wells. And then this is the really... There's not that many wells that go deep. And so this is the deep aquifer.
So this is covering what part of the county here? From where to where?
That's from Gunnison.
That's Gunnison Res there at the bottom of this map.
Yeah, bottom. That's Gunnison Res. So Gunnison all the way up.
All right, okay.
Up to here.
This is just the sand pitch.
It's not
okay, sand pitch drainage. Yep. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
And then this is same thing. So you can see Wells Reservoir right there, Gunnison Reservoir right there. When you do a groundwater model, you do these individual squares to break it up. And so you kind of map what comes in and out. And then if there's a surplus, well, then it goes into storage or it goes to the drainage, whatever. That's kind of how you do that. So the red squares are the stuff that was in the old model that we did from 89, the last work we did. And then we went to the Division of Water Rights, got their point of diversion on the water rights application, any wells that have been reporting, well logs, and things like that. And that's what the stars, the green... Different, so all the data sources we can, and we've added all those in. And so that's, you can see that in addition to those red squares of how many different wells and components.
Thank you.
Now, a lot of this stuff is really, I'll talk about it a little bit later. This is why it's not finalized yet. We have to fine tune it because I know you'll be shocked to hear that sometimes there's not reported data that comes out of these wells. We know there's a well there. We don't know much about it. But
just sometimes? Or most
being
times?
Being generous. And another assumption when we get to the inputs on the next one, the lower end, you know, before we get down to Gunnison Reservoir, the way they model that, there's going to be an evapotranspiration, and that's just that, excuse my non-technical language, swampy area, that just the river just winds out and goes everywhere. We lose a lot of water there. And so we've modeled that. There are 60, I believe, free-flowing wells down there, and depending on the year, they flow and they don't when it's drought, but we lose a lot of water just to evaporation.
Stan, I thought you went in there and dredged all that to make a channel back now through that area.
Somewhere
we did from the, the rock dam down to where the drainage district. But, I mean, you from the drainage district?
No, you did it from, I think they stopped at the Ephraim Olson. Back,
which is north of the drainage district.
Yes, north of the drainage, but you did not go to the rock dam. They didn't.
Didn't we start at the rock dam? Was the rock dam up?
On when Gunnison went up through the valley and cleaned everything.
Yeah.
They ended at the Ephraim Olson.
Yeah, because the rock dam is right by just outside.
That's by the processing plant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't go that far. Right? Yeah.
And you didn't even get to the Bagnell Division.
But
and it didn't change what you got.
Not well.
It didn't.
It only helps that one little section right there by the west plant. That's it.
I'm just saying the shape and the natural vegetation is still there. You know, still. It's
characterized. And then when it gets to the drainage district, I mean, it's just.
And that's well, where most of the stuff
and
is.
That bottom, it just, because it's got just sand, mm-hmm. It's got a certain amount of dirt, it's got sand, there is a hard pan that's down in there, depending on the depth, but that water has to fill all that up before it really starts to generate water that comes out the other
end. Yeah, and you can see here, here's all those.
I mean, at the end of the day, the truth is, if there's no valley snow, it really doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. Well, when we get to the losses, I just want to explain that. So this is every year from 1967 to 2025. And this was the first model, you know, through 89, what we thought the safe yield was. And that was kind of the average discharge back then.
And what was that acre foot wide?
That was just over like 11,000, 12,000 acre foot.
Okay.
And that's the average of that time. And then this, you can just see here, here's still the well discharges moving forward, but here's the double that, and here's triple that. And we've simulated what those wells are moving forward with the addition of the water and all the inputs. So you have that, and then here's all the inflow.
Okay.
So this is your annual precip versus infiltration. And this is just rainwater events, not, it includes the snow, but it has to come out. It's not,
what's the source for the annual precipitation?
There in the first part, there were 7 weather stations that we use from. Most of them don't exist anymore, and so we calibrated one to a valley one and one to kind of the mountain recharge area. Those are the only ones that have current information. We tried to do a calibration to their existing information from when we had 7. Let's get those 7 back so we have better weather stations. But through 89...
You might be able to convince USU to put some in. I mean, they put one in by us.
Exactly. And then you see the green lines, that's the valley infiltration, annual precip is the top, the blue, and the that orange line is that meadows, so that mid-level weather station. And with ancillary, with you can see, you know, big year in 23, big drought this year, big drought before that, and then those peaks and valleys,
I recall somebody saying something about the mid-80s being a little wet.
Well, yeah.
So that's the inflow into the model, the data set. Now, here's the flow budget. Total in, total out. So just so you see the difference, that's why there's a little different. And so this is your recharge availability that's coming into the system, that's going between all the cells and going to those recharge cells at the different levels. And this is where we get that. The green line is the head drop, and this pink line is, if you have it more coming in than it can hold, then it goes into storage. And so that purple line is your storage, and that is inversely proportionate to your recharge. As recharge goes down, storage will go up because you're pulling it from somewhere. Does that make sense?
Keep going.
Okay. I'm trying to
digest that.
What you're saying is when you don't have as much water, you're pulling more from the ground.
Yes, exactly. You know, if we've got a lot of recharge and you've got a lot of water, well, then if it's really high, then your recharge is really low.
You're not pulling much.
Because you're not pulling out of the wells. It's going into storage. It's going into the ground. And plus your surface is meeting your needs, so you don't need to.
Yeah.
Now this one's a little different. It's a little more consistent because that's the actual pumping what we pull out. And, you know, it's not as variable as our rainfall. So here's the big one is here's the safe yield of the aquifer.
So it's actually a little more than what we
have. Yeah, before in '89 we had it about 36,000 is like 79,500. You know, based on the model, we're about 85,000. And so the safe yield is 50%. So we're at 42.5 would be the safe yield. Now, we're also looking at, this is the pulling out. And so this is our well discharge. We're about 26,000 and, you know, up to 42. So we still got some space for a healthy aquifer.
So your 2025 well discharge, what are you going off of?
Yeah, how do you get that information?
So that's three, like I said, that's those three source information. One is reports to the state.
Okay.
When they drilled it and they pump tested it, so what the well can actually produce. And then we have their point of diversion. We're making estimates based on their size and where they fit in the aquifer. Because a lot of it, just because we have point of diversion, we don't know anything about that well other than that.
Yeah, that's what I was
to get the fine-tuning ones, if you have more questions about that, I'll have my drill guys.
Yeah, well, how granular? I mean, this is the sand pitch safe yield.
Yeah.
Yes.
How granular can this get by region?
You can break it off into regions.
So you could do horseshoe.
You could take that same information and branch it off.
And that's what I want to show you is I can break this out. I can break it out here.
Every one of those squares.
Because your recharge area is up in the foothills. Mm-hmm. It's that shallow water, and it moves down, and it gets deeper as we move downstream.
So if you take the upper sand pitch, their normal reported usage, isn't it 28,000 acre feet a year? Is that right?
Just from diversions from the sand pitch itself?
Consider I have to go back make commissioner's report and look.
Yeah, I could probably go find, because it ought to be posted on here by now.
But that's the upper and the lower, you know, and that's everything.
No, that's just the upper so much and then the lower.
If this is the upper and the lower, then we're in huge trouble.
No. The report is what I'm saying. The river commission report. He only reports upper and lower.
You'd have to look at both of them.
Yeah, but lower and lower includes Manti.
Well, I can't remember where he breaks it at.
It breaks at the Bagnell diversion.
Is that where it is?
Okay. That's where the upper and lower break.
Some of your map includes below the Bagnell diversion.
This is the whole sand pitch.
Right.
Because it's defined by the geologic features of the aquifer.
Well, no, it's the sand pitch ends in the Sevier River. You're just taking from Gunnison Reservoir north.
Well, it's where the hydrologic basin is defined.
There we go.
So if you want to get granular, that's how it's fine.
So.
Well, but it matters because if we're saying that we're only 14,000 or 16,000 acre feet from safe yield, that is a much smaller number than what's currently being used surface on the surface.
Well, yes, but it's if it's there. Like this year, your diversions are going to go through the roof from groundwater because there's no surface water.
Right.
So I'd say the next year, when we get those reports done, you're going to see a huge spike on that. And that's another thing.
That shouldn't change the safe yield, though, right? Isn't the whole
No, the safe yield is what it is. I'm just saying that usage.
I mean, ideally.
See, here's the well discharge line is what I'm saying. This is going to go way up.
So I guess this is the way I read this. If San Pete could successfully keep the well discharge below that 42,600 acre feet per year, then theoretically we could use that water in perpetuity.
Yeah, you're not damaging your aquifer. You're not straining it.
Yeah, we're not turning
it. And talk about, that's what I want to talk about. I skipped over the evaporation stuff. It's actually more efficient in some years to pull it out of groundwater than letting it sit in the drainage district.
And evaporate.
And it just evaporates and you use it. If you could utilize groundwater in those areas or for those farms which let surface water go to others, you can facilitate some exchanges that's more beneficial to your usage.
So I know we looked at how many acre foot of wells have been approved and where does that number fit in. We don't know how much is being used, but we know what's available that could be used.
I'd like to report to you the water rights side of it,
yeah.
Which I don't have tonight. We just finished the model.
No, this,
we're
this
not
is
done
good.
With the study. We're just done with the model. Okay. Now we use the model to run scenarios and forecasts to help decisions.
Go ahead.
So I've got a question on this, my feeble, stupid mind here. When we started putting in sprinklers, all the wells, flowing wells, started to dry up. So that's got to have an effect on this.
Yes, it does. And I can have my guys, I didn't answer that question, I knew it was going to come up.
What are you talking about? Sprinklers are more efficient.
They are.
Yeah. Well, flooding
for your crop, but not for this.
Not for the recharge.
Also, at the same time, when you put sprinklers in, you wet meadows, Sean. Mm-hmm. Those are usually what happens in those cases because you're not getting as much subsurface water flowing.
I mean, so there's a give and take there, isn't
yep.
there?
Yeah. And that's why I said that's why there's three different ones because in that question we'd look at the shallow water aquifer different than the deep water one and the surface water one. So that's, you can look at that. And there's a big, that well water, look at the graph. When was that? They started in the 80s, putting those in? Those
sprinklers came in 77. No, 76.
There's two.
76 was the first sprinklers in either.
Yeah, you can see
one in
the
76 and one in 71.
The
spikes.
Because there was enough surface water to handle those, and most of those systems were designed on a gravity system. Look at how well dropped. And that's in that page from 82 to 86, which is when most of the sprinklers started going and affecting. And then,
so you can see it right there.
You can see it right there. Went down. Now we have the super wet years of the 80s.
It brought it back up.
And then you can see it's been fairly consistent. Now, some of this is, we need to fine-tune the data. This is the first round where we got it up and running. We need to calibrate this still to actual. And quite frankly, that UGS study was not helpful at all. They didn't have any real data. So
I wondered about that. So, but you didn't say anything. So
I seen the data they collected, and I was like, "There's not going to be anything."
Well, most of the stuff reported wasn't even in our study area, so it didn't really help us.
The majority of that U.S.
and they only took 1 year.
Age.
Yeah.
It was what?
Age. How long it took the water to come through?
Oh. Yeah. And they only took 2024, so it doesn't show. Hey, like you were saying, this well did this or went like this.
So you can do some calculus. Can I ask you a question then? If you were to do this in Iron County. And you were to look at this same graph right here, would they have been above this line for quite a while?
That's why they're closed.
So
they closed, but they've got that plan to start shutting wells down.
Yeah,
more 2030 is when they started.
They never studied this, and they just kept going like crazy.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Well, I don't think they ever looked at this. That was the problem.
No, they've got all this type of information. They have not done anything with it. They just keep approving wells and keep going.
Did they know that they were doing this to themselves?
Yes, they do. But you got developers, and you've got...
But politicians don't care about the future. They're just care about the next election.
It's even worse. They have Arizona Iron County because they mine the water, the ground is dropped.
I mean, they've got major problems, but it has not changed their growth at all.
And they opted. They knew this was happening, and that's why they were part of the Lake Powell pipeline, and then they pulled out of that.
So knowing this and changing our philosophies and how we go forward, we're ahead of the game.
Yes. Well, then I need to report back to you. I have to show what the water right application trends are and how, hey, do you have 10 years left? Do you have 5 years left? And
as we dig into that
a little bit more, we need to get to that reporting because we're fairly conservative on that well usage because there's just not that much data. Now, if everyone out in the county actually reports like they're supposed to, I can fine-tune that thing and say, hey, you've got 10 years of open. You've got 5 years. You've got 2 years.
What I worry about.
Do you have any idea of a percentage that actually reports?
These guys did. They looked at all that.
0.0001.
They told me, because they had 160 new wells, and that's these I wanted to show you in addition to the original study.
160 new wells from when?
From 92, I think it was.
That's
not even close to right.
That's just the ones on one data source. Those are those other data sources.
We're
approving 100 and some a year.
A year.
Yep.
Over the past.
And that's,
five
I mean,
years.
When we get that average one, we'll have to make, you know, what we'll have to do is, you know, this size well is this much discharge, and we'll just have to make it.
And a lot of your data is coming off the well driller's data.
Yes.
As much as it is the actual users, it's, you know, and that's...
Well, the problem is a lot of those well drillers didn't file with the state, and I don't have a lot. So that's what I'm saying. The next stage is we'll take a... They finished this Friday, and I wanted to show you guys the rhythm of the school. We'll take a deep dive and fine-tune that, and I'll answer some of those questions.
Yeah. So will this be capable of producing a density projection?
Yes.
Of saying, okay, in this area, it says here you got 16,000 acre feet, right?
Well, now...
But that's the entire...
That's where we can drill down and say... Cottonwood gooseberry got a well in this box. Oh, that's really harmful.
Yeah.
If we go down to Manti, oh, you're okay. If we go down to, you know, Moroni, oh, that's a little different because now we can look at the actual aquifer and the impact of those wells.
And that's where the payoff really is.
Like I say, that's what we want.
Yeah, this is the big
so that we can identify where to protest more and where we don't have to protest.
Sorry, I misspoke. It's 160 wells from 89 to, I think, 2000. That's where that is.
That's probably a true statement, yeah.
And then, well, there's infinitely more since those.
So this would be really interesting to see, but you don't have it down in Centerfield or Gunnison where they're putting that big well down there. And the effect that that's going to have on...
You're talking about the one over by on the other side of Yuba.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, the one right.
Gunnison's well. Culinary well.
What's the name of it? It's
right there above O'Driscoll's. That's where the well is.
Oh, really?
And then there's that big pipeline going down to the town, right?
Is that a new one?
It's for the prison, right?
Well, it's for everybody. But yes.
They're the one funding the
well. Which they don't have the water rights.
Yeah, okay. I just ask because I've seen...
Politicians don't need water rights.
They applied. They were the ones, remember, they applied for your funding to do that.
Yes, we know.
That was the $32 million project.
On the other side of the valley, over by...
To Driscoll's, right above Driscoll's.
Right above his feedlot there. just to the
west.
Hill's Head Valley.
We're impressed.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Okay. But well, you know now that you just kind of got the carrot out there and we started nibbling. Yeah, now we want to get the whole big bite.
Exactly.
It's on aquifer.
And as we fine tune this, we route it with. Now we can start playing with the model to say, you know, hey, Axtell, if you do this with Fairview, we can accommodate where you're water rich, you're water poor, or if we do a well and trade you for these surface shares. Now we can look at all those and how it impacts.
No, that's what we need.
Well, now we can work with water rates when we do these drill tests. Yeah. We got good information.
And the initial
and we can look at Horseshoe and say, well, this is what the data shows. You know, you're not getting the recharge. You're getting the recharge and everything's going well. So we can have that.
I guess, Brian, if I'm reading this right, this is telling me that right now these wells aren't having any effect on us.
They are, but we've got still okay. We've got adequate to add some more.
We've got a buffer there.
But we know that they are.
And that's where I've got to get some more data and refine it. Like I said, we just finished the modeling. I wanted to show you the preliminary. This is not final. Please do not say, especially the forecasting. Yes, the forecasting will change dramatically when we start making some assumptions.
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you want these to be...
No, this is preliminary and draft form. And this is not ready for public consumption. Otherwise, they're going to put my head on a...
Yeah, this
right after they string up the data center, I'll be there.
Well, the thing is this year is going to be a very interesting year.
Yes.
I mean, because supposedly in the past, there's been a lot of people around Spring City that their wells have went dry. And if that's the case,
last few years. I'm sorry you have to go through the hardship. Bad drought years tell you a lot about how you calibrate.
I'm going to say, that's going to be good information for all of this. Because that's going
to
show a lot of recharge.
Yes, because then we can say, this is over the whole watershed. You know, where that line is. You know,
it's an average for whole.
Now you talk the specifics. You're like, okay, we do the model for the cells in Spring City. That's really bad. You can't do that. You know, the most you have there is X amount of feet or 2,000 acre feet or something like that.
Because that's what the groundwater study has shown in the past, that the recharge wasn't really... In Spring City, they really didn't get really good recharge.
You can see it up here. This is that recharge area. This is that
all
surface
that yellowy, orange.
And that one thing I was going to say, it also includes the mouth. That's where we put the mouth of every canyon and stream, you know, discharging the valley, because we can do the surface diversions.
Okay. Conversation I was having as I came to the meeting. I was out on the phone with Reverend Shelley talking about the springs up the canyons and measuring water up there. We haven't put any of that in here because that was way more than what we intended to do, but that's something he said the state engineer is willing to provide funding to measure springs
up all the canyons
in the forest. So that's, I mean, this is different, but I think that's something that information could tie into this.
And it's ready to go if we just have more, like you can see, I told you the data sources.
Yeah.
If we get more information, it leads to better results.
So.
Because otherwise, I get to make some big assumptions, and as you guys know with water, it's very specific.
When we're talking about sand pitch, Gunnison just finished a structure above Gunnison Res for measuring the water going in through the sand pitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
How's it doing right now?
What's it doing
right now?
We can measure that small, 0.5.
So we put in a trapezoidal flume.
Come on, say the real name. There's no trapezoid.
Yeah, can I?
We put in a V, a V floor, so that we could.
Did you put in a ramp flume with the V notch weir? The Cipollini weir?
Cipollini, that's the word I was looking for. Cipollini.
Is that what you're meaning to say?
And then we have a laser that measures the depth and the velocity.
Because you do have automation on that as far as reading.
I say that jokingly just to tease, but yes, Cipollini is more bigger. Ramp flume's extremely accurate, and it can get submerged, so both in large and small. Then if you have a V notch. What I like to do on those things like that is do a combination of Cipollini with the V-notch. Because 5 cmf, they're really accurate, but they lose their accuracy over about 5.
And, this thing, I mean, we're at a half a CFS right now, but, I mean, this can have 2,000 CFS in it.
So this is what's coming into it?
What's coming into the reservoir.
So where does that sit?
So if you go out past the radio station and then take that left-hand turn.
Going towards the Gunnison Res.
Goes back towards the Gunnison Res.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
So it's just on the other side of the hill right
there. Feeling like a filter is going to be
you drawn and you
was it
drawn
a
fact, what's scary is I was just looking at Cipollini.
We never got it.
Sunday and saying, well, so all you're using below is 4 CFS. Cipollini's not going to work. You want to put a V-notch.
They're feeling like the north end of the county's always felt.
So you can accurately measure height.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, one does not work for both location.
Well, you can do a
But the problem is our operations are based on that storage.
And you'll have
then we're doubly hurt. Because
the bear's 28% right now. And this is the high.
Hey, well, that was good information. Appreciate it.
That's scary.
Is that what it is? And go, I can estimate my flows with the.
We have some information on the narrows, but is there anything else before we go into a closed session? Any other business or anything else you'd like to discuss?
Members of the public, do you have anything to bring up?
Nope. I'll make the motion to enter into a closed session regarding pending the reasonable intimate litigation and the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
I'll second.
Second, Mike McCurry. All in favor? Jay, yes.
Matt, yes.
Scott, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Stan, yes.
Justin, yes.
Okay, motion carries. We are now
going to close.